Well, if you see me hobbling a little bit today, you don't need to feel sorry for me. It's all self-imposed. We went to the NF concert over in Minneapolis yesterday, me and Michael and Annabelle. And we stood in line from 5:30 to, then we got into the building and stood there, so... Yeah, my hip's a little bit angry with me right now, but we had a good time. One of the things that I came away with from that concert last night, how many of you guys know who NF is? About half. He's a rapper. He's a Christian and a rapper, not necessarily a Christian rapper. I play some of his songs at our home Bible study. He's really good at sharing pain, hurt, and a lot of the our home kids really connect with his music. And so we take his songs and then we look at scripture and say, okay, what do we do with these? What do we do with these emotions, this fear, this pain, the struggle? And as we got into this concert and looked around at the people that were there, it was obvious that it was people who really connected with hurt and pain, struggle, disappointment. And driving back from that, also yesterday, I think it was yesterday or Friday, one of my pastor friends posted on our college Facebook group about mental health and pastors committing suicide and just the struggle that really we all face. But a lot of times in Christian circles, we're not allowed to really talk about that because we're all supposed to be doing really well, you know, we're supposed to be happy and joyful, so he was just asking about why is it that we're not allowed to struggle, why is it that we're not allowed to be discouraged and disappointed, and last night as we were driving back to Dwight and Bev's from Minneapolis, who doesn't know who Dwight and Bev is? Just a quick raise of hands. That's pretty awesome. And sad for you guys. Dwight and Bev used to be elders here and just the sweetest people you'll ever meet. But anyway, they're driving back to their house. Got there about 3 o'clock in the morning. No, 2:30 in the morning, something like that. And the thing that really God just laid on my heart from that whole thing was just like, darkness is real. Darkness is real. And maybe you've seen it, whether it's enticed you, whether it's something you've seen that you wish you had never seen and never want to see again. Maybe it's death. It's real. Darkness is real. And some of you have felt it inside of you. Whether it's addiction, whether it's anger, bitterness, loneliness, discouragement, it's real. And a lot of times when we share the gospel, we kind of think like, oh, once we get saved, everything is just better now. Everything is just happy-go-lucky. And I remember Ashley's testimony, right? Here, I gave it to God on a Sunday morning, and then my husband left me. It doesn't always work out like we scripted it. Darkness is real. In Exodus, one of the 10 plagues that God punished Egypt with, the 9th one is a darkness, a plague of darkness. Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven. There may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. I remember my dad, his testimony is that he was out on ship in the Navy, and his good friend of his asked him if he'd ever been outside on the ship after they turned the lights off, pitch black. And he said no. So that night they went out there, and he said you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. It was just so dark. There's no stars out. And his friend asked him, if you die tonight, would you go to heaven? Excuse me. Make a long story short, he received Christ as his Savior that night. And the next night, the next night they came back into port. And I'm going to switch to a handheld mic so I don't have to cough into my mic every time. So the next night he came in to port, and he got back to the house, and he told my mom, he's like, I got something really important I got to tell you when we get home. And she said, okay. And so they got back, and they're sitting down, and he said, last night when we were out to sea, I got saved. And she's like, whoa, that is amazing. She thought he'd fallen off the boat. And somebody had helped him back in. But a couple weeks later, she said, Mike, I don't know what you have, but I want it to. Darkness is real. Not just the absence of light, but spiritual darkness. 1 John 2, 9-11 says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him, blinded his eyes. That was the problem with the Pharisees. The Pharisees thought that by doing good, by writing laws, and by keeping them, traditions, they could earn righteousness. They could say, I'm a good person. Look what I'm doing. Look at all the wonderful things I've done. And Jesus said, you are the blind leading the blind. A lot of NF's music is asking this question. What do I do with the darkness? And it's a question people are asking around you. What do I do with the darkness? The darkness is real, but so is the light. When Paul was out persecuting the church on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared as light.
And he gave him this message. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. When Jesus was born, actually when before Jesus was born, when John the Baptist was born, his father made this prophecy. It's in Luke 1:76 through 79. It's just part of it. He said, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." You know, so many people that are supporting some kind of political, whatever, deal. Sometimes it's a party, sometimes it's a cause, whatever. They'll say, "This is what we need to save our country." And I just respond by asking them this question: what makes for peace? To guide our feet into the way of peace. What makes for peace? Will the cause that you're promoting, will it make peace in this world? John 1:1-9 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into this world." Jesus is the light. And he gives us light. He is real light. 1 John 1, 5-7 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." That's a hard passage to understand. Seems like it's saying, if we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior and yet continue to struggle in darkness, continue to struggle with addiction, it's saying that we don't have fellowship with God. I don't think that's what it's saying. Here's what it's saying. The solution to darkness is to shine the light on it. The solution to the darkness is to shine the light on it. Matthew 6:22-23 says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Your eye represents what you perceive, what you're paying attention to, what you're focusing on, what you believe to be true. I want to unpack this passage a little bit, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll encourage you to read it this week. Hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. Verse 1 through 6 says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, trying to hide our sin or justify it, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light." Got some nursery problems, it sounds like. Let me read that last part. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Here Paul is comparing darkness to our hearts. And then he's saying, just as God caused the light to shine out of the darkness, he also causes he has also shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So just like there was darkness in our heart, just like there was darkness before God created light, right? Back in Genesis, he said, "Let there be light." And in that same way, there was darkness in our hearts until God showed his light through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 15 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." What is the treasure? The light of God. We have it in earthen vessels, our bodies, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The light comes from God. We are not light, not in our flesh. Our flesh does not become light just because we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side and yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you." Each one of us still has a flesh, and we are called to die to it. But we won't get rid of it until we die. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore, and I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he who has raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present you with us, for all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Paul says here that we carry around in us the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, our flesh. Right? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, what have we got to do? Take up our cross daily, right? Romans 7, 18 through 25, Paul further talks about this struggle that we have. Excuse me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but that evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. We've talked many times about how sin wants to come in and control us, right? Genesis 4, Cain said, hey, God said to Cain, hey, sin is lying at the door. And it wants to rule over you. And Paul is saying, if I don't even want to do this, but I find myself doing it, then it's sin that is working in me to take me away from the things that I want to do. He continues, I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So then what are we to do if we have these two things fighting against each other within us? Paul concludes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and internal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What does that mean? It says we have to take our eyes off of our present situation and we have to look at Jesus. We have to realize eternity. And yes, what we are going to go through in this life will be full of trials and tribulations. We will experience darkness. We will see it. We will bump into it. Some days we'll wake up next to it. Right? But instead of trying to make ourselves better by pretending that we are righteous, the solution to darkness is to shine the light on it. To gather around in a body of believers, to encourage one another, We don't overcome darkness with darkness. We overcome it with light. We overcome evil with good. And just as God, Jesus Christ, chased after those who are lost and broken, sinners needing to repent, Galatians 6:1 also commands us, and 2, command us to go after those who are lost. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If another brother is caught up in sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, but paying attention to ourselves so that we also don't fall into sin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the words, your word this morning, was not confused by my coughing, my illness. But I pray that people recognize that there is a real power. Satan is a real fallen angel working destruction in this world. And the evil is real. And it is a power that so many are walking in and have submitted to it, and they don't even know it. It's blinded them, blinded their eyes. And I'm sure that each one of us have come across somebody who, while they're struggling in their sin, even denies it. Oh no, I'm not struggling with that. And some of them even believe it, because they're blind. But Lord, you have called us to go in and show the light. Shine the gospel light. Not so that we can tear them down. Not so that we can hurt them for how they hurt us. Lord, not so that we can get even with them, but Lord, so that we can show them your grace, show them your mercy, show them your love. Lord, evil is real, but so is good. Darkness is real, but so is light. Death is real, but you have come so that we could have life. So Lord, help us to choose life. Help us to not look at ourselves and to try to earn your favor by our good works and to think we've accomplished something. But Lord, I pray that we would humble ourselves. Lord, that we would expose unrighteousness. Lord, so that we can come to the light, so that we can walk in it. Lord, so that you can see the things that need to be taken care of and that we can work on them. Lord, we ought not to be surprised when our brother struggles. We ought not to be ashamed when somebody comes to us and says, "Hey, I'm struggling with this darkness." But out of the love of Christ, we ought to say, "I'm here to come along to you, to encourage you in your faith, and to walk according to the commitment that you have made, and to hold on to the promise that God has given to us. Because we can't earn our salvation, and we can't keep it by our good works. But Lord, we must, out of love for you, follow you. And remove the darkness. And grow up into you. Allow the light to penetrate every area of our life. And that means forgiveness. Not just for ourselves, but for those around us. For those who have hurt us. It means laying down those burdens and the pain that we carry. And Lord, it even means walking by faith when the darkness is still there. Setting our eyes on you and realizing that this life is just temporary. And the goodness that you promised us is forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.